Hey, Barb, what do you call two guys that really love math?
Algebros.
Let's pray. Maybe we should have prayed before that. Yeah. Lord, we come before you and we lift this time and this message up to you. We put it into your hands. Whatever's from you, let it find a home in our hearts and change us. Whatever's not from you, let it go its own way. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, for a few weeks now, we've been looking at the Beatitudes as found in Matthew chapter 5. We've seen that the Beatitudes teach us who is really blessed in this life and why. We have noted that those that are listed as blessed are not the usual suspects that the world proclaims as blessed. In fact, the who's who of blessed is rather counterintuitive to the world's way of thinking. If that's what blessed is, then I prefer not to be blessed. Perhaps understanding our reluctance to accept his declaration of who is blessed, Jesus also lets us know why those people are blessed. Two of the Beatitudes note the receiving of the kingdom of heaven as a reason for blessing. Verse 3 says the poor in spirit, and verse 10 says those that are persecuted for righteousness receive the kingdom of heaven. Last week we looked at what the kingdom of heaven is. This week we'll take a look at who else is blessed to receive it. Matthew 18, 1 through 4, at that time the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a child to himself and set him before them. I can imagine at that point the child looked around and said, "I didn't do anything." And said, "Truly I say to you, unless you are converted," which means changed or turned, "and become like children, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." This is akin to poor in spirit from Matthew 5:3. It tells us that not only will the childlike enter the kingdom of heaven, but they will be the greatest there. You will be esteemed, but it won't matter to you because you'll be humble. How do children humble themselves? If you ever spent much time around a 2 to 12-year-old, you know they have moments that can make one wonder about Jesus' experience with children. Have you ever seen a child lying on the floor of Giant Eagle, crying and screaming and lamenting as they flailed about as if slain in the spirit, screaming over and over again, I want it," because mom refuses to put a box of chocolate-covered sugar in the buggy, or if Cheryl refuses to buy pizza. However, children have some qualities that mitigate the temper tantrums and the stubbornness. If they didn't, nobody would ever have more than one. Here Jesus particularly notes that children are humble. It must be noted that this teaching, as with the Beatitudes, was specifically for and to the disciples who had just asked Jesus the very wrong question. Who will be greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus sighs heavily. At this point, Jesus realizes that at least one of the points of the Beatitudes, which were spoken earlier, had not yet sunk completely into the minds and the hearts of his disciples, because if they would have understood the Beatitudes, they would have never asked that question. The reality of the kingdom takes some time to accept, even for the disciples. You must be humble to receive all that is the kingdom of God. You must be converted, changed from what we are now, cynical, proud, selfish men who want to be first, and return to being children who have no concept of first, children who not judge others by appearance. They like everyone the same until someone gives them a reason not to. Children don't trust their own abilities. They trust their parents. They conquer their fears by running to their parents, not by confronting them. They find their value, their peace, and their security at their father or mother's side. If someone or something tries to pry them away from their parents, they cling all the tighter. It should be noted that the phrase childlike faith is not used in Scripture. We imply it, and reasonably so. Just saying, it's not there, at least not in the New American Standard. Where this verse in Matthew speaks specifically to childlike humility, in the very next chapter, Jesus uses the same example in a much broader sense. Matthew 19:13-14. Then some children were brought to him so that he might lay his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them. It was just a chapter ago when Jesus said, bring them here. Jesus said, let the little children alone and do not hinder them from coming to me, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. Whereas in the last chapter, the negative was used, you know, you will not unless you become like this. The disciples are trying to keep the children from bothering Jesus, apparently believing that they were not important enough to take up Jesus' time. And they chastise the parents for trying to have Jesus pray for and bless their children. Jesus rebukes his disciples for rebuking the parents. Mark's account of this says that Jesus was indignant with his disciples because of their actions. Apparently, Jesus' patience with his disciples regarding this matter was beginning to run a bit low. After his rebuke, Jesus repeats the lesson from the previous chapter, but this time in a wider sense. Jesus says the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these, and he leaves it to us to figure out why. Of course, his previous point about being humble, it still applies here. So what positive characteristics of children grant us the kingdom of heaven? Well, the world would point to a warrior, a politician, or a great orator as those who would gain a kingdom. Jesus points to ones who have none of these qualities. Matthew Henry wrote this regarding this section. Children, when very young, do not desire authority, do not regard outward distinctions, are free from malice, are teachable, and willing dependence on their parents. It's true that they soon begin to show their dispositions and other ideas are taught them at an early age, but these are marks of childhood and render them proper emblems of the lowly minds of true Christians. Surely, we need to be daily renewed in the spirit of our minds that we may become simple and humble as little children, willing to be the least of all. Let us daily study this subject and examine our own spirits. Spurgeon wrote, man grows from childhood to manhood naturally, but in grace, men grow from manhood into childhood. And the nearer we come to true childhood, the nearer welcome to the image of Christ. As I thought about this, I thought about the trust a child has in its parents, a trust that over time can be proven to be misplaced with human parents. But time proves no such thing with God. It proves him more worthy of our trust with every passing day. As time passes and our own faults become clearer, we often grow to appreciate the efforts of our parents more than we despise their actions. What I'm saying is, you get older, you start to understand your parents a little clearer than you did before. With God, experience continually proves his love and worthiness to be trusted. As we age, we learn to do two things: understand our parents' failings and appreciate God's grace. However, what God offers us is not always what we want, so we venture away from him. You heard me read the Beatitudes last week. They do not sound like fun on the beach. Every one of those qualities sounds like something we try to avoid. The extraordinary grace of God affords us the time to learn and appreciate what God has offered us. He allows us to return to him with a childlike trust we once traded for a bag of magic beans. We don't start over from scratch. We start over wiser, knowing how trustworthy God's word and love is, by having learned how unworthy and unloving this world is. When we become childlike before God, We don't trust him because we have no other choice. We trust him because he is our best choice. Life, his spirit, and his word have proven him worthy of our trust. Trust in his word, trust in his heart, trust in his power, trust in his timing, and even trust in his other children. Trust in each other. Born again, and like a child, have a common thread. Those two phrases, born again and like a child. Scripture makes it very clear that both of these things are required to have the kingdom of God. John 3:3-6, and then 14-15. Jesus said to him, speaking to Nicodemus, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And as we saw, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven are the same phrase. They mean the same thing. Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. As Moses was lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him will have eternal life, will find the kingdom of God." Being spiritually childlike and being born again hang on the similar concept. Nicodemus has had much trouble understanding being born again as we do understanding being childlike. The irony is that as we grow older, we often become more childlike before the Lord. But just about all of us have to be teenagers before the Lord before we become childlike. Now, to be sure, there are scriptures that speak to being children in the Lord in a less than flattering way. While we are told to be childlike before the Lord, we are also told not to be children in the Lord. These two things are not contrary. They don't conflict. We are to trust like children, but to think like mature adults. It's notable that a number of these verses about this come from 1 Corinthians, a letter to a notoriously immature church. 1 Corinthians 3:1-3 says, "And brethren, I could not speak to you as spiritual men, but as to men of flesh, as to infants in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not able to receive it. Indeed, even now you're not able, for you are still fleshly. For since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly? Are you not walking like mere men?" 1 Corinthians 13:11, "When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, reason like a child. Then I became a man, and I did away with childish things." 1 Corinthians 14:20, "Brethren, do not be children in your thinking, yet in evil be infants, but in your thinking be mature." Ephesians 4:14-15, "Know what you believe and why you believe it. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by the craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speak the truth in love. We are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ." So, we must be childlike to enter the kingdom of heaven, but we must grow up in Christ once we get there. These verses speak to growing up into responsibility, adult responsibility, the need to do what is yours to do, wading into the deep end of the pool where what God saved us to do resides. This is where the Savior of our soul becomes the Lord of our lives. This is where we sink or we swim. The children are permitted only in the shallows where their feet can touch the bottom. The deep end is where what we think, do, and say are matured and used by the kingdom. Being content in the shallow end is childish. Being at peace in the deep end is childlike because you trust the lifeguard. You trust him because of what you know. Let's face it. For all the endearing qualities of children, they are rather dumb. Not that I speak from experience with my own children, even though Lauren was probably 7 before she realized I didn't actually have her nose. There comes a time when we expect children to grow up. The ones who do not become glaringly obvious by the proving themselves incapable of accepting responsibility for themselves and others. The question we often ask such people is, what were you thinking? The response often is, I don't know. C.S. Lewis wrote, Christ wants a child's heart, but a grown-up's head. He wants us to be simple, single-minded, affectionate, and teachable, as good children are. But he also wants every bit of intelligence we have to be on alert at its job and in first-class fighting trim. R.C. Sproul wrote, there's a vast difference between childlike faith and childish faith, though the two are often confused. Childlike faith calls the believer to remain forever in a state of awe and trust of their Heavenly Father, while a childish faith balks at learning the things of God in depth. It refuses the meat of the gospel while clinging to a diet of milk. The call of the New Testament is a call to maturity. You trust because of what you've learned. And because we don't want to trust, we refuse to learn, because it would make us responsible. Luke 9:62, Jesus said, no one, after putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom. Wow. As a child, we often want to do the work of our parents. Children following their fathers around with a toy lawnmower with the joy of fulfillment, though they accomplish nothing. I can remember Garrett following me around with a little toy lawnmower. Then when real lawnmowers came, he forgot all about them. When the time comes for them to actually cut, some refuse to accept the responsibility, and everyone who looks at their yard knows it. Being childlike, put your hands on the plow. Being childish, refuses to push. We have to teach our children not to trust every adult. This is the world we live in. Stranger danger. Because if we don't, they will do whatever they are told to their own peril. But the one who has proven that they can be trusted says, leave your life and follow me, as he did in the Beatitudes. Forget everything the world taught you. This is the truth. The world is wrong. I am right. Just like Peter and Andrew when they were called, we will go with him. And who we were will never be seen again, because new men will appear where the old ones were. We have to relearn to trust God's word as we did when we were children. And this is not an easy thing to do, but it's something we must do to have the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the persecuted for righteousness. Blessed are the childlike, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven and all the benefits and glory that come with it. Amen. Next week, we'll take a look at what the kingdom of heaven is like, how it operates. Fortunately, we have some verses that says the kingdom of heaven is like. Amen.